Okay, we're back in session.
I am.
But I don't have to go. All right, Broadband Committee, Pat Pryor, Chair.
Yes, thank you. Broadband Committee will be meeting on Monday, March 25th at 5:30 p.m. at the Tompkins County Public Library, Borg Warner Room. I expect at that time we'll have enough more information so that we can begin looking at next steps and moving ahead with this project, and also at figuring out where the gaps are that are not going to be funded through the grant, and what we might be able to do to finish the build out so that we can meet our goal for the entire county.
Hope you bring some celebration chocolate or something. I know you can't bring anything stronger to the library.
I've already thought of that.
Are there any questions for Pat? Thank you, Pat. Then Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let me move Resolution G, and then I'll give a short report after. Resolution G is opposing executive budget proposals constraining Industrial Development Agency's authority to abate sales taxes, and I would move that.
Second by Mike.
No.
Go ahead, Jim.
The problem with the reason we're doing this is in the governor's budget, as are many things in the governor's budget, this would eliminate the ability of local IDAs to abate sales tax on construction costs on projects, and they would it would then be sent off to the Regional Economic Committee, and then they would have to be involved in this whole process. What it would amount to, if I'm a developer and I would have to pay the sales tax on all my construction material, and then I would apply to get it reimbursed to me, but I would have to go through the local the regional development group, and it sounds like a nightmarish thing for any developer to have to go through. And I don't know if the goal was, well, we'll just kind of get their sales tax money and they won't want to bother with doing it. But it hampers local IDAs and their ability to help a project get going by being able to abate local sales tax on that. That's why this resolution. I hope that's not too confusing.
Thank you, Jim. Nathan.
Yeah, I also I support this resolution, and I think one of the most limiting parts about the governor's proposal is exactly what Jim's talking about. But specifically, if this proposal were to go in place, or if it had gone in place, if, say, a couple years ago, you know, things like the Lansing Market and neighborhood pride stores. They wouldn't have been able to get support from the IDA like they did. And as you know, in with such low margins like the grocery business, especially when we're talking about grocery stores that aren't chains, right? I mean, the sales tax that we can abate in that initial part of the project is really significant. And so it's very important that local IDAs, I think, have that power, and that's why I support this resolution.
Thank you, Nate. Kathy Luce?
Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned Neighborhood Pride, Nate. Anybody that hasn't been there yet, you should go. It's really neat. But I digress. I'm a former member of the IDA, and those of you that remember my tenure on the IDA know that I'm kind of strict about what I think qualifies for a tax abatement. I think it's a tool, and it's one that should be used sparingly. And I think my voting record on the IDA shows that. When I saw this resolution, I read it carefully, and I came to the same conclusion that Nathan and Mike have. It's a good tool. Having it taken from us gives away some flexibility that we have. And in these times, having that abatement, even though I don't agree with all of them, it's really an important tool that it be used locally. And I'd like to see this passed.
Thank you, Kathy. Any other discussion, Dooley?
Well, strangely enough, I come out on the other side of this. It makes perfectly good sense to me for the state to want to control its own 4% share of the sales tax, just as we want to control our own 4%. And I don't have a problem with that. The argument that it will, I'm reading the resolution, make it extremely difficult to deliver these abatements to manufacturing products, creating a new complicated barrier to job creation, I don't understand, because that's exactly the kind of thing that the states, these regional economic development entities want to see happen. They want economic development. So I don't understand the real problem that everybody else sees. So I will be voting no.
Let me answer the regional council question and then go to Kathy.
It wasn't a question.
It's a comment that I need to respond to. These councils, I will tell you, are enormously understaffed. They don't have anywhere near the staff they need to do the work they already have. Adding this to their agenda will actually only turn out to be a rubber stamp that just takes time. They don't have the ability to evaluate projects in every local community. It's literally just going to be something that's going to be add more bureaucracy and take more time. Our council only meets every few months, maybe. I mean, every quarter, really. It's pretty ad hoc. So I think there's no value added whatsoever by sticking them into the middle of this process. I would just mention that I've got a couple of changes to people's titles in the last resolve. I trust that's a sort of manifest change to make. For example, Speaker Sheldon Silver, Assembly Minority Leader Brian Kolb. I don't know if we have to go through that, but I just wanted to let you know I'm going to let Kathy have my notes here. Kathy?
Thanks. I appreciate your comments, Dooley. The way that I'm approaching it is the exact opposite. A lot of the times the sales tax abatements are small, and the projects that are asking for them, that might be all that they get, and it's a small amount.
Right.
And for me, the fact that the state wants that money is no surprise. However, the fact that we want to use it for economic development, I think, is proper. And particularly the ones that, Martha talks about having to win their way through, some of them may not get accepted at the local level. We need that oversight on the local level. And I think we use the tool much more responsibly than they would use it at the state level. And that's the direction I'm coming from on it. I think we need to retain that control, and I'd really like to see us vote for it. I mean, vote for the resolution.
Carol?
Yeah, I also was going to say, I think your point is well taken, Dooley. And when you made it a few days ago when we talked, I thought seriously about it, because it is, I believe there should be, you make your own decisions about taxation. And one of the things that we object to is when the state makes decisions about our taxation, and so it is their right to make this decision. There's so much, though, that they decide for us without giving us the ability to decide for ourselves, and this is such a small thing that they say, okay, with the state's share of this, we'll let you make the decision. That I think that's okay, and I would like us to continue to be able to do so, and add that value to our local projects. And I will just point out for anybody who was wondering or confused about this in any way, this is just the portion of the taxes that's on the construction of the project. It has nothing to do with the operating taxes, so we will still be implementing operating taxes on any of these projects in the same ways that we have in the past.
The IDA has nothing to do with sales tax on an ongoing basis. Are we ready to vote?
Yes.
All in favor of Resolution G, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's 14 to 1. Thank you.
That is the extent of my resolutions. Let me just say a few words about a report we had at the Budget Committee meeting the other day. It was a smart work presentation given by Jackie Thomas, and we had various department heads who showed up at the meeting and also talked about how that Smart Work project has been operating within their departments. I believe that the committee heard very positive responses from the department heads and how well that whole effort has worked within their departments. And it is an ongoing project that I can see down the road will gather more fruit for us as we continue to look at departments. And the department heads seem pretty enthused by it, and that makes us all very happy after we have invested a fair amount of money and time and energy in that project. There was also a discussion of the livable wage document that came up tonight. And Pam, do you want me to tell you who's on the committee, or do you want to find out for yourself?
Tell us.
It's fine. Actually, I think Pat.
Yeah, she has it.
She did. Thank you.
So.
Thank you.
It's a matter of record in Joe's report, and
Pat already mentioned that.
Did you mention all the members of the committee?
Yeah.
Oh,
she
good.
Didn't name them
okay.
by name. She named them by.
So my memory is very bad. I'm pretty old, and I wasn't paying attention. One of the. Oh, okay. All right. And that will be an ongoing discussion at the budget committee, and also. And GO, and I'm fairly confident that we will, at the end of it all, come up with something that we can disagree on. That we can agree on, and hopefully get a policy put together that makes sense for everyone. And I did say the wrong date. It was 2003 that this was passed originally, and Kathy and Frank were the movers and seconders of that resolution. And let me just say from my point of view, and I believe the county administrator's point of view, it's been characterized that the county has not done a good job with livable wage, and in fact we have not enforced it in some respects. And that's patently wrong. We have enforced those kinds of things in the past, and there are some cracks in what we've done, and that's what we're trying to fix up as we move forward. So for us to be perceived as not doing it is wrong.
I will say that the Pat read the titles. I don't know if the individuals are appointed yet, but it's sort of like Human Services Cabinet. So we don't know which individual. So maybe, Jim, that's why how you missed that. Briefly, Kathy and Frank.
Thanks. From my perspective, there have been exceptions made to paying a livable wage when contractors weren't paying a livable wage. Just in my time on the legislature, I've seen agencies that came forward that said, I have a contract with a subcontractor, but I can find the money in my budget, even mid-contract, to amend this, and I'd like to do that. And to my recollection, there have been two or three times that we have done this in the past. And I think that rather than trying to imply that we aren't enforcing it, what I would say and my perspective on it is that we have been uneven in the way that we've approached it. And any time we find that our actions aren't consistent with our policies, it's time to reexamine it. So I agree fully with the notion of going after it again. And I have to say that, when we first came up with the compromise, I wasn't happy with it, but I knew it was the best we could get at the time. I'd like to get something better now.
Something new, Frank?
Yes, something entirely new.
And different?
And different. Jim, could you give us an idea of how the finance directors...
I was going to do that. I have that here, but I was completely waiting for everyone to... say whatever they wanted to say about the livable wage.
All right,
we're done.
Unless there's anything else on that, I will go on. Director of Finance, sir, there's an email that you all received today, and it tells on what our plan is on March 20th from 12 to 5 in this room. And we have our three final candidates. We will be sending them 7 questions and 3 scenarios. They will have to choose from one of the scenarios and make a 15-minute presentation in the front of the room or wherever they decide to do it. What I'm asking for the people on the search committee, that they take a look at the questions and scenarios. If they have any additions or corrections, please get them back to Steve Estes by March 7th at 4:30, which would be Thursday. We would like to be able to send out to our three candidates the scenarios that they have to choose from, one of the three scenarios. We went from six candidates the other day in our interview process to the final three. I think we have three very good candidates, and it's my impression from talking with Steve that each one of them, if they were offered the job, would take the job. So we, you know, given whatever else, I mean, short of a meteor or something like that, you know, these people have said that, yes, they would like to work for Tompkins County. I personally believe that there is at least one of them, or if not more, who the final three, any of them, would be capable of doing the job. And as you can remember, we've had the added plus for any new candidate that David has agreed to stay on for a short time to walk them through the process and kind of hold their hand to get up to speed, and that's going to be a real benefit to anyone we hire. That's it on DOF.
Thank you, Jim.
One more thing. Everyone is invited to come here. It's here in this room, 12 to 5.
Date again, please.
March 20th.
Which is Thursday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Wednesday, March 20th.
12 to 5. Okay. Thank you.
We have the room. Please come. You know, we also have a plan to have them, all three candidates, meet David's department at some point during that day. And, you know, we've done that before with other searches, and it makes sense we would do that again.
Well, Jim, thank you very much. Will information about the candidates be available? Like, if people sign up on the personnel website, is there a way for people to look at their documents ahead of time for the rest of the legislature to see them?
You mean their resumes?
Yeah, look at, yeah.
I think they've always been, haven't they? Or has it always been?
Thought it was just open to the search committee.
That's a good question. I'll have to talk to Steve about that. But probably, yeah. I
mean, okay.
Why not?
Yeah, I think that'd be helpful. So you're all set, Will? Carol?
That was my question.
And Pam?
Well, I was just wondering if the deciding factor in this is going to be who's going to want to move into David's rather large office. How they could withstand the offer of moving into.
We're not showing them the
luxurious
offer.
Accommodations.
Good comment, Pam. We haven't taken them upstairs to see where they're going to be yet.
Yeah.
We will market meditation.
Understand, we didn't show Joe his office either. And I don't know if you ever saw what his office used to be like. He had this amazing view of what was the dome? What was that in Syracuse? I mean, he had this gorgeous, you know, big office with a beautiful view. So
I mean, Joe likes to tell his friends in Syracuse he works in an old jail.
So, Dooley.
If I understood you correctly, you said there were three scenarios, and each candidate could choose which one he or she wanted to present.
That's right.
But that means we will not be able to have an apples-to-apples comparison.
And I
haven't read
will.
Them yet, so I'm just reacting to what I heard you say. And that's the whole problem.
I believe you will. And the reason the scenarios that were chosen, because it's clear that one of the scenarios would be advantageous to somebody who's had a huge amount of county experience. And so what we tried to do in the three scenarios is literally try to play to each person's strong suit. In other words, by doing an evaluation of the candidates, we tried to offer up a scenario that each one of them would not be disadvantaged by. And so they would have the ability, given their own ability, to do a 15-minute presentation on the one they choose. And all of them are related to county government in different ways, obviously.
And didn't you, I think you said there were seven other, or a number of other questions.
Oh, yeah, there are seven other questions also.
That everybody gets the same question.
Oh, absolutely, right. Yeah. Okay. And everyone gets the same three scenarios. They just have to, you know, we're obviously asking someone to make a choice. And, you know, that's part of the process. Yeah. Putting them in this room is part of the process, too, because, you know, we've been in that comfortable room over there. Now you're going to have to show up here with a whole bunch of people sitting around and do your best shot, you know. So I think it'll be good.
All right. Thanks very much, Jim. A lot of work going into that. Public Safety Committee, Brian Robinson, Chair.
Thank you. Have no agenda items. We have not met since the last legislature meeting. And my computer is broken, so I'm not aware of any issues or anything out there that may be of concern.
Good idea, Brian.
I apologize. I should not be glib about that. We all have received numerous emails regarding the new SAFE Act of 2013. To be honest, I am shocked that there isn't anyone from the public here tonight to discuss that based on the volume of emails that we've gotten. I can tell you that prior to this week, between Michelle and I, it was kind of a light agenda that was coming up. I am going to be out of town all of next week, and we were going to hold the public safety meeting prior to the next legislative meeting. That's no longer the prudent thing to do, even though I'm not going to be here. Sorry, Peter. But the Public Safety Committee meeting will go on as scheduled on March 11th. I do know that we've all been notified that there will be, at the very least, a petition delivered to that meeting. Obviously, there's public comment, and there may be, I don't know. I have a hard time looking into the future, but there may be a lot of public comment. We set aside a discussion segment to the meeting. If the remaining members wish to discuss the public comments or anything else, I mean, let's face it. There's more to this bill than just gun control. I mean, there's a lot of different factors that are in there. And, you know, I really don't know as it would be prudent at this point to begin to debate any of that. I, for one, would certainly like to hear from the public. Obviously, I'm really, to tell you the truth, I'm surprised we haven't yet. But I think we're about to. At the end of that meeting, the remaining members are free to, if they believe it's prudent, to come up with a resolution, whatever that may be. And, of course, none of us here are precluded from bringing a member file to the next meeting. So, you know, I can't look into the future. You know, I suppose it's possible I could bring a member filed resolution myself because, as I say, my knowledge of the proposed law change is not just gun control. And we all have our different feelings on that. I would hope that it's not particularly political in nature, but there's a lot of factors that that do need to be considered. I guess that's the end of my report, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Brian. Any questions? Pam?
Brian, as part of the agenda for that meeting, in anticipation of our possibly having a discussion, are you going to provide the committee with information on the law? I mean, I have not read the law itself. If there is going to be a discussion there, it seems to me it would be helpful to members of the committee to have that information. But I don't know if people are going to want to talk about it or not. So.
Okay, and I don't either. I guess I would suggest to the remaining committee members, something tells me it's not terribly difficult to find that new law. And it would probably be a good idea to familiarize yourselves. I mean, we all know bits and pieces. Unfortunately, my understanding is that it may not have been read even by the people that voted on it.
By the people that read it, that wrote it.
just saying. And I guess in part to that, let me just say that it's unfortunate that we have to do things backwards in this situation. Normally, when you have a decision made in the magnitude of this, there is a lot of time for public deliberation and legislative deliberation, which did not occur. Again, this thing now has gotten to the point where it has filtered down to the county levels, which we all know many, many of the counties have already weighed in on this subject one way or the other. And it really shouldn't be that way because we don't have direct control over this. Had there been proper notice, proper legislative deliberation, proper public input, things may not be going down the way they're going down. So I will apologize to the other members of the committee. I would actually like to be there. Seriously.
Cancel your trip, Brian.
It's a...
Where are you going? Maybe we can switch.
I'll go.
I'll go, right?
If he's booked passage on a cruise ship.
We all miss meetings from time to time.
My record is not to miss a whole lot of meetings if I can help it. But this this is something that's been planned for a year, and I apologize. I'm going to guess anyway that at the next legislative meeting, there may be some discussion on that topic, would be my guess. I could tell you my personal views now, but let's just wait until that whole process has taken place, because we really should hear from the public, and not just in emails. But, if they want to come in person, if legislators that aren't on the committee would like to go to that meeting, obviously you can. My guess is that there may be some discussion on that at our next scheduled legislative meeting.
Thank you, Brian. And I think I'm sure it won't be the only discussion that we have. I've got Kathy, Pat, and Will, and Carol.
Thank you. Y'all know I like short meetings. Since it's after 8, I'd like to suggest that we not discuss this right now. But I do have points of information, and that is, if my memory serves me, at Health and Human Services, we got some information about potential impact that the wording in this bill might have. And Leslin, was I correct in hearing that there was also some information presented at WDIC concerning some potential impact? So there's clearly more information out there for the committee to have. Unfortunately, I wouldn't be able to attend the meeting, but I think we would do well to discuss this at another time.
When's the next meeting, Brian?
Pat.
The 11th, and you're chairing it.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Pat.
I just wanted to mention that I've been doing some research on the SAFE Act, and I did come across a couple of websites that I thought were helpful, and I'd be happy to forward them if you'd like me to do so.
That sounds great. Thank you. Will?
Same thing, maybe the same websites. The governor has published a website, has a website with very detailed, frequently asked questions. Mm-hmm. I know that not everybody is perhaps trusting of what the governor has done, but it's a starting point, and so we can get those out to everybody.
Thank you. That'd be helpful. Carol?
Yeah, without getting to what the responses were, knowing how many emails we are getting on various sides of this issue, I sent out some representative sampling of the pros and the cons that we've gotten and some of the websites on both sides to the listserv of my constituents and asked for responses, and it was very interesting. I'm still getting responses, and you know, I got 14 immediately. Within 2 hours, I had 14 responses, and they weren't all what I expected. So I encourage others to do that, because if we are going to discuss it, it would be good to solicit what our residents are feeling.
All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brian. Any other questions for Brian? All right. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean-Claiborne, Chair.
Thank you. I just want to very quickly say to Carol that I haven't done the email, but I've had the opportunity to talk to a number of people face-to-face about the SAFE Act and gotten responses that way. So that's another option as you talk to constituents, and it's very interesting where people's opinions are on that. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee met on the 27th of February. A lot of what we dealt with is in everybody else's report. So, but I want to start by pointing out one quick thing. You all should have received this lovely invitation flyer. I sent it around. Hopefully everybody got one. a letter on the back of it that says what it is. This is our reading and discussion series, which we got the grant from New York Council on Humanities for. There are four sessions, and we really, really, really encourage people to come if you can. I mean, it's limited seating. It's only 20 participants. We've done something similar before. It was well received, and we hope that you can participate as we continue our work for diversity and inclusion in Tompkins County. And I want to thank Paula. This is her handiwork. I have to go to a class for technology. Amy, talking about us parents who can't keep up. I'm working at it. So there's more. So please, if you can, mark your calendars and try to attend. And as you see, I know supervisors, staff will be talking to their supervisors, and department heads are on board with this. But as you see, staff as well, you know, encourage department heads and staff to try to participate in this. Hold, is there anything I need to add to that?
No.
Thank you. We at WDIC, in talking about the SAFE Act, a couple of meetings ago, I think it was, I don't remember, when one of our members and a number of us actually chimed in, talked about the language in that law that was very troubling around people with mental health disabilities and how how the language was written and how they were portrayed. And so there was concern, although we have not brought any action of, you know, what we want to do about that. It is an issue that we are looking at from a diversity and inclusion standpoint. So like you said, Brian, it's more than just, you know, taking the guns off the street. It's about how, you know, everybody is being treated and treated in this piece of legislation. So we will continue our conversation around that and look for ways that we can also send a message to influence how this law is not only written, but how it is enacted and the impact it could have on certain people in our society. We, at our last WDIC, also talked about the community viewing of race to power, community view and discussion of race to power and illusion. Tompkins County, we are one of the community agencies that will be hosting a series of viewing and discussion sessions. I think we have six so far that are confirmed, or five, and we're looking at a sixth in the old jail facility for people who are here. I know the 911 center, Paula, help me out.
The health department, the mental health department.
Human services building.
Human services building. They're actually beginning to show theirs this week.
Right.
And I'm going to have a conversation with Jeff Smith at the end of this week, because we're also looking at using
Bostwick
Road.
And down at Bostwick Road, and then we're also looking at Lisa Holmes and COFA. We're also looking at potentially doing something internally, you know, at their place. So we're glad for the enthusiasm and momentum behind this, and we encourage you, if you see the notices come out, if you can attend in, you know, one of those sessions, and the three in a row to participate, or look for the community events that will be happening, the community viewings, perhaps at the Burg Warner room, they might be in other places that you can respond to and join in. The living wage policy has been on our agenda, and we're thankful to the county administrator for providing some more information as we also try to deliberate along with the work that's happening at GO on this policy. As I said earlier, WDIC has been looking at this along with a number of other things. We started to look at our contract language, and I think I said this at a few legislature meetings before, and what's in our, when we send out RFPs and RFQs, what language is in there that mirrors what we have in our diversity statement and our diversity policy statement about what we're looking for. What language is there? What language is there around living wage policy? And so we are also looking at that. We certainly don't want to duplicate the work that's being done with the committee that will be put together, but we will continue to have some conversation. The diversity and inclusion values language is very, very important to us. Last year, we brought just a teaser draft language to begin the conversation, because when we asked the question, what's in our documents that we send out, the response was not anything that was consistent, that we have anything around diversity and inclusion really that's consistent, or anything that really gives us the information we're looking for. I mean, we can ask folks, do you have a diversity and inclusion initiative or policy, and they say yes, and that's it. But there's nothing more, and so we wanted something that gave us a little more depth of information about what companies, businesses, people who respond to these RFPs are doing around that issue. So that's an area we're working on. We're beginning to explore as well minority and women-owned businesses as a concept and policy. There certainly is movement out there around that. It's not something we certify here in Tompkins County, but it's an area in WDIC that we thought we should also look at. And also continue to work on our diversity policy. One of the things that came out of our climate survey is a very strong indication from staff, department heads, everyone, the need for having a very clear and distinct policy. We had a policy statement that this body passed, or guidelines. So we're taking that and formulating a policy, Paula and her policy-making group, taking and putting that into policy format that we have with the correct language, and that will be, if not already, circulating for the impact response and then we will have something come here. All of these things that we are doing at WEIC are in keeping with what came out of our climate survey. These are action steps that folks that we want, we're looking for, and these are the things that we're doing. So we wanted to keep you up to speed on some of those things, and you will be seeing more documents from us coming soon. That's my report.
Thanks very much, Leslie. I've got WDA, TCOG, and IDA on two of these dates. Does it make sense to come to the other two, or is it... Is it you want to be at all four?
We want you to be at all four. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say she's right. We're encouraging people that you attend all four sessions because it is continuous reading going through that particular document. It's divided into four sessions on associating, giving, serving, as well as leadership, and they all tie across. So if you come to one isolated session, in a sense, you might feel a little excluded when we're trying to create a inclusive environment with the ongoing conversation.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Well, they're just meetings all the time, so I understand. So,
but we're hoping that this is a successful pilot so that we can continue to do this a couple of times throughout the year and that there'll be other opportunities.
Thank you very much, Leslie. A lot of great work going on. Any questions? Anybody else?
I just want to say to the members of around this table who are members of WDIC that we sent out this information by email documents, and we ask you to please take a look at it so that we can engage in this very good discussion and come up with some action steps from it. So please take a look at your email. Karen already sent out this information.
Thanks very much. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I'd like to thank Kathy for standing in at the last board meeting. Appreciated that. I understand you did a very nice job. You look good on TV, too. Earlier tonight, we heard from Perry Lapinto regarding the effect of the governor's, one of the items that the governor's proposed budget will have an effect on is the Racker Center and organizations like it. I want to bring to your attention another item that came to the Health and Human Services Committee. We had a letter from John Spence, the executive director of Better Housing for Tompkins County, that precipitated a concern that will affect a proposal that will affect both he and Ithaca Neighborhood Housing Services because of a proposed cutback in the funding. I had a meeting with both Paul Mazzarella and John regarding what that means to both the urban sector, which is the basically what Ithaca Neighborhood Housing Services and Better Housing for Tompkins County's effect on the rural housing sector. The committee asked that I look into this, and we simply didn't think we'd have time to bring a resolution here in order to get it to our elected officials in Albany. So with Paul's and John's help, I drafted and sent off a letter that I copied Martha on and a couple of others, asking basically that our state elected officials, all four of them, work towards leaving things as is. Don't tinker with the process. It works very well. And if the individuals needed more information, both Paul and John agreed that they'd be happy to sit down with any one or all four of the elected officials. But there's some things in the governor's proposed budget that are very far-reaching and often create a negative effect, the law of unintended consequences. And that leads me into yet another comment on the SAFE Act. You heard Kathy mention that we had a presentation by Sue Smeltzer from our Commissioner of Mental Health. She warned us of the impact on the mental health department, our own, and throughout the state, and I alerted Martha to that about a week or 10 days ago, and then we were treated to a very in-depth newspaper article in the Journal about the effect statewide of what the intended consequences could be and who would be making decisions. So I'm glad that the not to set Peter up, but I'm glad that there may be some discussion at the Public Safety Committee bringing something forward or at least discussing this because it goes well beyond the issue of guns. And I think that we need to have an open discussion about that. So I appreciate what Brian said earlier.
Can you summarize that a little bit in just a few sentences? That's an issue I'm not familiar with.
The mental health effects?
The mental health one? In order to comply with some of the items in the legislation, it will require that individual mental health departments could have to identify individuals who are potentially harmful, going back several years and making an observation that I may be a potential danger because of some background. Well, Sue indicated that there's no one on her staff, a doc, that could feel comfortable making that kind of a determination. In addition to that, what happens if the individual is deemed not to be a threat and turns out to be a threat? So there's some unintended consequences to all of this, not the least of which, and you've heard this before, is the unfunded mandate portion. We don't have anyone on our staff right now in this county that can make or feels comfortable making that kind of a determination.
But we have an obligation to do that? Are you telling me
under this legislation, we will, as will every other county's mental health department. We're not singled out in this.
And I believe there's already in sort of the professional code or of ethics, whatever, that provision that if somebody, aside from patient, client, patient, therapist, patient confidentiality, if somebody is expected that they may harm themselves or others, professionals know what to do about that.
Well, and there's one part of this that really raises a major concern, Peter, are the HIPAA laws. I mean, there's a consequence to revealing personal information like that. There have been... The jury is still out because at the state level, they're researching this to see if there are ways that they can stopgap the impact of it. By putting certain individuals on these review committees, Will and I had a discussion about this a couple of days back. I don't want to take up too much time, Martha, because it's already 8:30 and we have an executive session to go through, too. I would suggest there was a very good write-up in the Ithaca Journal a couple of days back.
Point of order, I thought we had agreed that we were not going to discuss this tonight.
Well, this is a different part.
This is
of
a
it,
different issue, a different part of the issue.
At Health and Human Services, because, unless we want to ask Sue Romanchik-Smeltzer to go to the Public Safety Committee, which she's welcome to do, but I think this is a piece of new information.
New information. I won't say anything more. Go, if you can, resurrect the Ithaca Journal's article a couple of days back. It's very, very good. Just to also remind you, those of you that were unable to make it, I know Martha was there, I was there, Will was there, Jim was there, Joe was there at the Human Services Coalition annual luncheon and award ceremony. It was very well attended, very, very nice. Congressman Reed was there. It was an excellent opportunity to meet and be exposed to the human services community. Absolutely outstanding. On one sort of sad note, Martha's already mentioned Joanne Florino with regard to TC3. I would like to mention Joanne Florino as not only a longtime friend, but a friend of the human services community. She's been a real, sometimes outspoken, sometimes a little difficult to deal with, but certainly a friend of the human services community. And I think this county is going to have a tough time replacing her as an advocate for the types of things that she did for us. Having said all that, the next committee meeting is the 12th. You're all welcome to come. We're putting the agenda together now. And I think I'll stop there, Martha. Thank you,
Frank. Any questions for Frank? All right, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Peter Stein, Chair.
I don't think we haven't had any meetings since I reported last, I'm pretty sure. Our next meeting is on the 18th at 10:30. I just want to say a word about what I've learned in the short time that I've been the chair of F&I. I had absolutely no concept of how complicated it was to do something simple like make a road. No idea. I was really quite shocked. But the Pine Tree Road is rushing, and in the sort of time scales that we have, it really is a final dash towards a construction of a reconstruction of the Pine Tree Road area on the north end of it. And we had a meeting where we, that I reported on before, where we accepted the best alternative, and then that would produce a plan. And we are going to either accept or reject that plan at our next meeting. I got the plan. I was flabbergasted. It's 250 pages long. And not even, it isn't the final set of drawings. It's just the instructions for how to make the final set of drawings. Unbelievable. And I certainly can't say I read it, but there's a lot of words in that, and it's really hard to pick up what the parts you're supposed to really concentrate on are and what they aren't. So I'm still in a learning phase.
Peter, it's an example of what a physics professor used to assign to us in class.
Oh, I don't think you ever got anything as complicated as that.
Well, we're here to educate ourselves. Peter, I'm delighted that you're having a good experience. Are there any questions for Peter? Any comments? All right. Thanks very much, Peter. That's great. Economic Development Committee, Will Burbank, Chair.
Why, thank you. I'm going to make this quick because we haven't met since our last meeting. But we are having a meeting coming up this Thursday, and we are going to be hearing two reports, and I would encourage everybody to think about coming. Some of you have posed the question, what exactly does TCAD do? Specifically, what does it do in terms of job creation? That question will be answered and addressed in detail on Thursday. Also, about a year ago, I was at a TCAD meeting and heard a wonderful presentation by Monica Roth from Cooperative Extension on the changes in agriculture locally. And I have to say it was just mind-expanding for me because I had sort of was in the old mindset of our local ag economy being based on dairy and sort of in a state of perpetual decline. That is so no longer true. And, I mean, it's really exciting. It's a vibrant sector of our economy, and Monica is going to be telling us all about it again on Thursday. So please join us starting at 3:30 in the old jail. I also wanted to mention, only because I don't think it got mentioned else, there's a hearing that the IDA is going to be conducting this month on the Hotel Ithaca project, and that is the one that would be on the end of the Commons literally next to the building that houses Madeline's restaurant, sort of squeezed back behind there. And that hearing will be on Tuesday, the 12th of March, from 4:30 to 6:30 at the town hall, Town of Ithaca Hall. And it's an interesting project. We're going to the idea will be considering an abatement. And if you want to learn more, come to that hearing. And that concludes my report.
Thanks very much, Will. Any questions? Thank you. Capital Plan Review Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We have our special meeting tomorrow at 5:30 at the old jail. We're looking forward to the presentation by the architects on some of the choices for the interior over there. Hopefully we'll have the courthouse, the old courthouse, open so that we can go in and look at it also if we have time to do that. And you're all invited. Our meeting starts at 1:30.
Is the chair decision still open?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Oh, good grief.
I don't know. Brian?
That was my question. That's a biggie.
Yeah.
are we trying to make a decision tomorrow, Mike, on the chairs?
Well, we had some requests for the possibility of having some of the other examples of chairs brought back for one last look at the last meeting, so I promised at our previous meeting that I would ask about that.
I would ask that we try to maintain a relationship that would allow Holt Architects to ever consider working with us again. If we can try to bring this to some kind of conclusion, that'd be really awesome. Kathy,
why ruin our reputation?
Kathy and Carol.
Do we have to keep voting, or is one vote count, or do we have to keep voting?
I ain't the chair. I don't know.
Until we get it the way.
Until we get it right.
That's what I'm concerned about, because I did vote once, but I didn't know that we were going to have several balloting processes.
Well, we're new at this.
Carol?
The most recent suggestion is everyone gets a chair of their choice.
Oh, that is a possibility. Suppose they don't all match.
Carol, I have Carol as the next speaker.
Well, my question was going to be, are they the same? Are there any different chairs than what we sat in the first time around?
Well, it's just the two that are here.
I'll ask tomorrow.
These are different.
Yeah.
These are different.
They're different chairs than the first time around.
I think the blue one was the highest choice out of the first batch, right? And
I'm not sure.
Kathy says yes, and the white one is a new version.
In
there.
Thank you.
Frank?
Martha, not to belabor this even more, but some of you have selected chairs that you're sitting in now that are different from the ones that we've had forever. Does that mean that we'll be able to, even though there'll be a chair selection, we still will be able to select our own chair?
I think Cindy Kaufman is certainly promoting the idea that we can take these chairs if we can't make another decision.
Oh, I'm for that. Let's do that.
No, Frank, I think the point is these chairs have been here for 85 years, and you know, they've been one or another replaced. So is Frank. I think the goal is
watch
to get...
Watch it, Nathan.
I didn't say anything. I said it.
That's okay. Watch it.
My sense is that designers will be very unhappy if we don't have all the same chair, at least for the legislative, the circle there. So, my thought.
Who are we to please?
I don't know. All right. Anything else for Mike?
Good question, Pam.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mike. Minutes of the...
Martha?
Yes.
I forgot to mention two things. I didn't jump in when the SAFE Act was being discussed. I just wanted to tell legislators that I have asked Kathy Covert to share with all of you my source of information on guns, which is an article in the recent Rolling Stone. Not specific to New York State, but it's interesting. And I would like to ask if I could please have my reason for voting no on the New York State sales tax resolution included in the minutes.
Do you have that? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Julie. Is there a motion on the February 19th minutes?
Move.
Moved by Frank, seconded by Brian. Any discussion? All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? 14-1, that passes. I'd like a motion to go into executive session for personnel issues. I do not expect we will take action after the session. So, moved by Frank, seconded by Carol. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Let us take a 5-minute break while they shut the cameras down, please. We will be back in chairs at 15:45. Thank you.